Amen. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God and dive in it and see what the Lord has for us this morning. And coming into almost a new year, we'll be going into a new chapter, a new book, and still praying and see where the Lord wants to lead us, whether to continue into 1 Corinthians or which I do want to go into, but I want to feel like I need to get back to Jesus because we never want to get beyond Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Every book is talking about him anyways, right? Jesus is the Word of God, and he dwelled among us. So maybe we need to get back to our first love and get back to Christ ministering and not forget as we're going to be looking at. And so let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word and thank you that it is powerful, Lord. Thank you that it's rightly dividing and separating us, sanctifying us, Lord, and unto you and away from the world, Lord, setting us apart from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we thank you that your word is sufficient. The love of Christ is all we need, Lord. If the only thing we will be taking with us when we step into eternity is just that love of Christ that got us there. We're not taking anything else. And so, Lord, bless us this morning as we continue to look to your word and let it be sweet as incense and sweet as honey, and let it fill our hearts with joy and gladness. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 15. And if you remember last week, we were talking about, we left off in verse 16. But I wanted to remind you again what he said in 13, where he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in the hope and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are filled with the goodness, filled with all knowledge and with also admonition for one another. But nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God." So Paul, we left off where Paul was, hey, you know what? You guys are filled with the goodness of God. You're filled with all knowledge. And you're filled with edifying one another, admonishing one another, building one another. But, you know, I just want to bring that into in remembrance. I want you to remind you of these things. And, you know, in my own personal life, when I think of the things that I'm filled with and the things that God, I read about God and I study and I look at it and I hear it from others, I have to remind myself, and I think God is reminding myself that am I not just, he's reminding me of it, but am I doing it? And I think that's why Paul's reminding. He says, "I want to just bring you into remembrance. I want to remind you that you are filled with these things, but are you doing them?" It's easy to be a hearer. I think the challenge is to be a doer. Are you being a doer of what you're hearing? Because you can hear it, and one thing is to do it. And I think a lot of times we come here and we say, "Okay, I already know that. I already heard that," but maybe that's what God wants to, again, remind you of, because you don't want to forget. It's just like me. He's telling me, hey, maybe you need to get back to maybe a gospel, because you need to be reminded about Christ, because we can get beyond Jesus sometimes. We think, okay, you know, I'm saved, born again, and I want new revelation. You know, I want something deep. I want this, when it's all about Jesus. And so Paul says, hey, I just want to remind you not to forget that you're filled with the knowledge and the goodness, and that you're able to admonish one another. But also, look at verse 16. He goes on, he says, "And that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." So I love the fact that Paul, he calls himself a minister of Jesus Christ. And a minister of Jesus Christ is what? Is called to minister the gospel of God. He's called to minister to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul calls himself a minister here, the Greek meaning here is, the word is often used to refer to the priests of the Old Testament. That's what it's referring to. So Paul, he's actually describing the nature of his ministry as doing the work of a priest, an Old Testament priest, of being a minister and bringing offerings that are acceptable to God, and of him being sanctified of the Holy Spirit, he talks about. And this was the work and the nature of the priest in the Old Testament. And so I like to think that every one of us, every one of you who serves in the ministry, should see it as a priestly ministry. That's the way you got to view it. But it's not a ministry where you're going around and making atonements for sin, guys. You're not going around saying, hey, you know what, I'm the door to help you to eternal life. It's not a ministry where you're sacrificing animals to God or where you're wearing a priestly robe, right? Hey, I would love to wear a robe. If I can wear a robe, you know, I wouldn't have to get dressed up. I can have shorts underneath. You wouldn't know it, right? Because it's a robe. It's not that type of ministry. It's like doing the work of a pastor without the title, because you guys do the same thing I do, most of you. Every one of you teach the Word of God. How many of you teach Bible study or you teach the Word of God to someone? You share it with somebody, right? I do the same thing. How many of you pray for others? I do the same thing. How many of you get involved with the Lord? I do the same thing. How many of you are pastors? How many of you are ministers? You're ministering the gospel. You're doing the work of a pastor, but you just don't have the title. And so Paul, he's describing his ministry as a priest. So I think how important it is that we look at what we do as a priestly ministry. You're serving the Lord. It's a ministry of what? Preaching the gospel, whether it's through serving others like we did yesterday. We served the ladies, or preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's all done under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit saith the Lord. Without God's Spirit, I couldn't be doing this. I wouldn't even try to do it. I wouldn't try to come up here and teach people, you know. It has to be done through the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And I think Paul's example of the purpose of ministry is to bring other believers to the point where, you know, they will offer themselves according to Romans chapter 12, where he taught verse 1, where he says, I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I think Paul's reminding them that what they do know, right? What you guys are, I'm reminding you guys that you guys know this, that they will be used by God as that instrument of what? Sharing the gospel of salvation with others. That's what it's about. Take what you know and give it away. You ain't taking it with you to heaven, you know, and whether it's a material thing, but most importantly, the spiritual things, that's what you are taking to heaven. People who get saved through your ministry or through you sharing, you're going to see them in heaven. You know what? I bet you any month there's going to be, when you stand before God, God's going to, okay, come on up here, Pastor Steve, and he's not going to use Pastor Steve because it'll be Theophilus, come up here. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, and come up here. He says, all of those who are touched are here because of this man, this 6'2" man, 0% body fat, and a gorgeous neck. I want you to stand up. And there's going to be people who are going to stand up that I don't even know. Why? Because of this one person I shared with, shared with this person, who shared with this person, who shared with this person, and it keeps going and keeps going and going. And they say, because of your faithfulness, I am here today. Not because of me myself, but because I was faithful in preaching the gospel. And that's what we're called to do. That's what Paul's reminding them to do. Use what God has given you as an instrument to share the gospel of salvation. Whatever he called you to do, use it to plant seeds. Use it to encourage people. This morning I went to 7-Eleven, you know, my Starbucks. 7-Eleven to get my blueberry coffee. And as I was standing there with the coffee, this one lady, she was right here, and I had my hands like this, and she decides to throw her creamer over my arms into the trash bin right here. So she goes like this, and I'm like this, and I'm looking at her, and she looks at me, and she says, oh, good morning to you. And I said, hey, God bless you. Good morning to you. Beautiful day, you know, and this is a day that, we're called to go and worship God corporately. She says, amen, amen. That's what I'm doing. She goes, oh, you're talking about church, right? I said, yes. I said, I'm on my way to church. She goes, oh, really? Yeah, me too. She goes, what? And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor of a church, so I need my coffee so I can go. And she says, oh, really? What church? I said, Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. I heard of that church. Which I'm not sure if she was telling the truth or not. I don't know. I heard of that church. I want to say, oh, really? What'd you hear? You know, and somebody says, I heard of you. Oh, what did you hear? You know, right away you don't think of, whoa, you know, I'm famous. You think, oh, gosh, it's not true. Whatever you heard, it's not true. It's not me. It's Pastor Tony. It's not, yeah, you heard. It's Pastor Tony, not Pastor Steve. And she says, I heard of that church. Where's that? You know, I told her where it's at. She goes, you know, what time is your service? 9:30. You know what? I'm going to go. I get that a lot. I want to go. What time is your service? Where's it at? And so, but you know what? I was able to share. God blessed me with that boldness to share the gospel. And I didn't lead her to the Lord. Obviously, the way she was talking, she was already a Christian. But to encourage her to get into fellowship. That's what you're called to do. Whatever God has given you, use it to give to others. Now, look what he says in verse 16. He says that I might be a minister. Paul, you know, he was a public servant. He was a worshiper of God, the giver of the gospel, because that's what a minister is, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offerings of the Gentiles might be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So I really believe that the offering that God wants from a minister, from us, from you guys, from me, not only the offering that's acceptable, but that offering that is acceptable to God is the offering of a human life. And I'm talking about a living sacrifice. I'm not talking about dead ones, guys. God wants a living sacrifice because that's what he told us in Romans 12. The word acceptable, it's very significant here. Because Paul's talking about the offering of lives here in verse 16. He's not talking about material things. He's not talking about religious acts. But bringing lives to Jesus. Whether you're planting a seed, you're watering a seed, God is the one who will raise them up. Not you. Not me. I'm not going to raise them up. And, you know, I hear it all the time. Hey, you know what? What are you doing to cause your church to grow? I ain't doing nothing. I'm just teaching the word of God. God's take it to God. Ask him, what are you doing, Lord? And he'll tell you what he's doing. You're here because God brought you here. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians that he places everybody right where he wants them to be. And it's for the purpose of building the body of Christ. Whether it's in a church of thousands to a church of 40 or 50. You know, average church, there's less than 100 people within that church, but I think that's a great amount of people. You know, can you imagine if we had 1,000 people? Oh, man, we're talking 5-6 services on Sunday. I don't mind. I'm here all the time anyway, but that's a lot of people to be accountable to. Pulling at you, you know, but he's talking about people. Paul's talking about the offering of lives here and planting seeds, water seeds, but it's God is going to raise them up. That's the Lord's will. The word acceptable means the offering of people who that will be acceptable to God are those who will accept the gospel of God. I think that's important too. Because why? They are sanctified. They're set apart up to God by the Holy Spirit. So that means they got to accept it. Even though they're out there, you know, God made us to worship him. And there's a lot of people out there, but they're dead sacrifices. They don't know the Lord. They haven't accepted Jesus Christ. They don't want to. Some of them just plainly say, I don't want God. Well, they're not going to be accepted by God in that case. But you know what? God, I love the fact that God's not going to give up on them. God will never give up on anybody. I don't care if they're Christians or non-Christians. He is not going to give up on them. And he'll continue until they take their last breath. So if God doesn't give up on them, maybe we shouldn't either. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. You know, we need to reach out to them. So the good news of Jesus Christ, it has to be proclaimed for a person to accept and be acceptable to God. And so a person has to be set apart by God, by the Holy Spirit. And the person who comes to God in the name of Jesus Christ, his son, well, hey, could I remind you of Romans chapter 10, verse 9? Let me bring that into remembrance, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart, with the heart one believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. So let me bring that into remembrance. You guys, something you already know, but let me remind you of this. In verse 14 and 15 of that same chapter. Well, how then shall they call on him who they have not heard believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are what? Sent. That is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good news. So let me remind you of something you guys already know, and that is you play a significant role in the circle of life. May I remind you of the word, so what the word significant means? Listen to what it means. It means very great or important, to be worthy of attention. So let me remind you of something that you already know, and that is, Paul says, how will others know that there is a God who gave them eternal life and need to know the love of Christ in verse 14 and 15 of Romans 10? How will they know unless what? We tell them. Guys, you are the one, you guys, all of us, we're the ones who believed. Why? Because somebody shared with us. Somebody shared with you. And because somebody else sent them to you. Whether it was another person, but it was God who sent them to you. So you are either the one who goes, or you're going to be the one who sends them. Because you believe that you were, you know what you have is real, right? I mean, do you really believe what you have is real? Don't you want others to know that? It's real. What I have in God, it's real. So we all play a significant role in the circle of life. You see, I'm the one that is going now. But you have to be the ones who's sending me. Yvonne and John, and there's a couple others. We're going to China. We all need to help in that circle of life. So that others will believe. And by doing your part, you know what? By you sending us, you're gonna actually be with me, but you'll be with me through what? Your giving and your prayers. And so therefore, you're going to partake in the spoils as well. We go and we send the word of God there, and that word is put in the hands of another believer. They share it. They get saved. And it keeps going. It doesn't stop. It just spreads like a wildfire. And God accounts that to not only us, but to you yourselves. Because we all play a part in that circle of life. Hey, I'm just reminding you guys of something that you already know. I don't have to tell you. You already know. It's like that. You remember that cartoon G.I. Joe? How many of you seen that? Probably not you young kids. G.I. Joe. I always remember that part where I didn't watch it. I didn't care for that. I was more of a Johnny Quest guy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And but I do remember a part where after, you know, G.I. Joe, they always had like a good moral at the end, a good storyline at the end, and it had to do with children a lot of times, and they were like, might be doing something bad, and G.I. Joe steps in, he says, hey, that's not right, you do this, and bum, bum, and at the end of the moral story here, they said, wow, now I know, and then G.I. Joe, he goes like this, and knowing is half the battle, because the other half is what? Doing what you know is right. Though he didn't say it. I wish they would say, now that you know, go out and do it. But that's what Paul is saying. So you have to be a doer of what you know. And you play an important part in the circle of life. James chapter 1, verse 22. James said this. Hey, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of it. Be a doer of it. So you want to be blessed? Then support the work of the Lord. What the Lord's doing here in your church. Here in North Park. You know, too many people, they do go to specific churches. But when it comes to supporting the church that they go to, they don't support it. Because they don't have a lot to offer. Guys, offer what you can and what you have to your own church. Be a doer of it because it's all part of the circle of life. Get involved, not only materially, but spiritually most importantly. Be involved. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word, in deed, and to make the Gentiles obedient. You know, Paul says, hey, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what I have seen or what the Lord has done through me. I'm only going to tell you what he's done, these things that he's done through me, in other words. I'm only going to share what God did in my personal life, you know, and I'm going to share what the Word of God says. And the whole purpose of Paul saying this is in order to reach out to those who need to what? Be saved. Because only by the grace of God we are who we are. It's by his grace. And Paul only talked about what? The things that pertain to God. Look what he says in 17. He says, I only have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. You know, Paul, he talked about, you know, and he gloried in Jesus Christ alone, because that's what he says here in verse 17. He didn't brag about the things that he did. He bragged about the things that pertain to God and not himself. He didn't brag about material things like buildings and programs. He didn't brag about numbers. You know, he didn't brag about fleshly things as like positions, speeches, teachings on sermons, education, and tithes, you know, and titles. And he didn't brag about any of those things. He didn't talk about himself nor about what he had done. He only talked about the things that pertain to God and what was done through Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 19. He says he bragged about these things, that he did some mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I did break that down, but I forgot to put it here. You know, because, you know, some of those words are kind of hard and difficult, you know, unless you listen over and over. And sometimes I like to just divide them up because it makes it easier for me. But I'm be the first to say, I don't speak Greek or Hebrew. You know, I don't even speak good English. And I don't speak any Spanish, so I'm kind of stuck, you know. But again, he talked about the mighty signs. He talked about the mighty wonders. He talked about the power that came through the Holy Spirit that was in his life. He talked about how he gloried in them only so that they could be used to reach others with the gospel. He wasn't applauding himself. He wasn't giving himself that pat on the back I call the that-a boy award. Hey, that-a boy, you know. He gloried in what he was doing through him and in him. And you know, it's interesting, everything that Paul did, those things were actually the evidence of his faith in his working God. There were evidence. We need evidence, you know, in your life. You say you're a Christian, well, what evidence? You know, remember how they used to say, if you were arrested for your faith and your walk with God, would they have enough evidence to convict you? I think that's very convicting. If I went to court right now because of my Christian faith, would they have enough evidence to convict me? I hope so. I really do. I don't want to let go on a technicality. I don't want to be let go because there's not enough evidence to prove that I'm a Christian. You know what? Paul gloried in what Jesus was doing through him. And those things became the evidence of his faith, of what he was preaching, kind of like he practiced what he preached. He preached the gospel. That had faith. It had works. Those were the evidence of behind of what he did and what he said. I want to be like that. Just like Jesus. Remember when Jesus taught? What did they say? Hey, he doesn't teach like others. They couldn't see, they could see that he wasn't like others, right? There was something about him that was real. Something about Jesus, listen, something about Jesus that was what? Very attractive. And I'm talking about his Christian walk because, you know, the Bible says he wasn't a very good-looking man in the Old Testament. It's not like he was someone that you would very attractive. But his walk, his life was very attractive. His work, it was attractive. Are yours? Yes, yeah, are yours? What is it that people find attractive about your walk with God? Or is it just physical things? Is it the spiritual things that are in your life that others are attracted to? That's, I hope so. I hope people, I have gotten comments, I guess, or compliments and saying, you know what, you know, I thank you for your love and your faith in God. And that's what people are attracted to, is that. Not, hey, you know what, you are a very good-looking man. Man, I wish my husband looked like you. No, I doubt that, man, you know. It's like that song, some guys have all the luck, you know. No, it's what you want people to be attracted to is your faith, your relationship with God. And, you know, when Paul talked about it, you know, he talked about and he gloried about the obedience of the Gentile converts. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word, in deed, and to make the Gentiles obedient. You know, when Paul says this, you know, it's the Gentiles were only converted through Christ. They weren't converted through Paul. Jesus only used Paul in what? Word and deed to reach the Gentiles. But it was Christ who worked in their hearts to convict them and to get them saved, not Paul. Paul was just sharing and glorying in the new believers. You know what excites me about somebody getting saved, especially when they come here to the church? Something about those new believers is that is the fact that, you know what, they're the bloodline of the church. We need them because there's too many lemon-faced Christians here. You know. And I love the fact that they are so excited about knowing Jesus. They're so excited about, wow, I'm saved. And they got to tell somebody. Remember when you got saved, how you were so excited? When I got saved, I wanted to tell everybody. And I did. I was out there telling everybody. But again, I wasn't doing it properly because I would get very upset when they didn't accept what I had. And finally, I had to be told, hey, brother, that's not how you go about doing it. You know, you got the zeal, you got the love, but you need the knowledge. And you got to remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. I took it personally. I thought they were rejecting me, so I didn't like that very much. But you know what? They're so excited about knowing Jesus. And so because of this, Paul says, you know, he was very careful in not taking the credit from God. You better be careful because it's very easy to take the credit away from God because that's what the flesh wants to do, right? Doesn't the flesh want to take all the credit? And that's why 1 Corinthians, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, look what Paul did. You know, I would love to do everything that Paul did. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul said that no flesh shall glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who become for us with the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Or Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. I mean, can you relate to that? For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And he goes on and says, hey, the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He gave all the credit to Jesus. And that's why he was able to say in verse 18, for I won't dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. He says, I'm not going to take any of the credit. Everything that I dare not share or take the credit. I'm going to share it because Christ did it through me that he may be glorified. But Paul also talked and gloried in the mighty signs and the wonders brought on by the Holy Spirit. Look what he says here in 19. He says, hey, I did mighty signs and wonders, but it was by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So again, let me bring you into remembrance here. Think about all that Paul had accomplished in his ministry. We're talking all the miracles, all the evangelism, all the preaching of the word of God, everything that he did. Who did Paul contribute this work to? The power of the Holy Spirit. To the gospel of God and the work that Jesus did on the cross. Not himself. Hey, look what I did. Look what I know. I know more than you. I did more than you. What you know isn't good enough for me to listen to or to hear or to receive. I know more. No. He contributed everything to the Holy Spirit and to the gospel of God according to the word of God and to what Jesus did on the cross. I love Peter. He did the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what he said. Verse 1, he says that we were elected according to the foreknowledge of God. Right? Before the foundation of the world existed. God knew you? I mean, that's a pretty big God, right? I'd rather be elected and chosen by him than anybody else. He says, we were elected according to the foreknowledge of God. We were sanctified by the Spirit, set apart by the Holy Spirit, and then for obedience, and then we were sprinkled by the blood of Christ, made justified. So you see the work of the Trinity there, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the whole purpose is so that we would have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for who? For me. Say that, for who? For me, right? And it says all you have to do, it's kept there by the power of God, and all you have to do is believe it by faith. Faith, that's all it takes. Faith, guys. Doesn't say works. There's a song by Mercy Me. It's called If Not. A beautiful worship. You got to listen to it. But in this song, he says, you know, sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing pretty bad. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. He says, that's good because a little faith is all I have. He says, but God, if you choose not to, for that mountain not to be removed, then may it be well with my soul. And I think that's the key. Lord, if you choose not to remove that mountain in my life, may it be well with my soul. May I accept that, knowing that I was elected by you. I was sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I was justified by the blood of Christ. It's a beautiful song, worship song. You got to look it up. I guarantee you won't stop listening to it by Mercy Me. He's, you know, the one who did I Can Only Imagine. So I like to think that, you know, this is our life here is the work of the Trinity here. You see, like God, I like to look at God, you know, got the clay and he's molding you, fixing you, he puts you on this belt, conveyor belt, grabs you. Jesus, he sprinkles blood on you. He paints you, you know, like a little statue that, you know, he's painting you, putting your color, you know, your hair, everything. He puts you back on the belt. You go down to the next room. The Holy Spirit gets you, breathes in you life, you know, sanctifies you. You go, puts you down. You go through the belt to another room. The angels are there. They grab you and they pack you, call UPS, and then you're shipped out. It's all put out by God. And Paul talked about glorying in the fact that he's been given the privilege to preach the gospel all around Jerusalem, all around to Illyricum, which is today, obviously, present-day Yugoslavia, if you look it up. But he gloried in the fact that he had the privilege to have to share the gospel. That's a privilege. It's not, I don't want to do it. It's a privilege and an honor to share your faith with others. And God used Paul to preach throughout the world. But again, the emphasis is the fact that he had fully preached the gospel of Christ. It wasn't the gospel of Paul. It was the gospel of Christ that God wanted the whole world to hear and to receive. And we can't forget that. It's not about your gospel. It's not about your Bible study, your sermon, your teaching. It's not about any of those things. It wasn't the gospel of Paul. It was the gospel of Christ that God wanted the world to hear and to receive. Don't forget that. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And you know, maybe that's why many of us don't share with others. It's because we allow ourselves to accept rejection and acceptance. Maybe you don't go share because you're scared of what people might say about you, or they may reject you, or maybe you don't go, they might accept it, and you might take all the credit. I don't know. Why don't you share? And I'm not personally pointing you out. That's between you and God. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Why isn't the body of Christ not all getting out there and sharing, you know, and doing the work of God? I think if the whole body of Christ woke up and everybody made it a priority of coming here every Sunday to worship together, I think Jesus probably would come back by now, because the whole world would know. We just need to preach the gospel in word and deed, just like Paul did, because he had that spiritual authority, he had that power, and it only comes when you share the things we ourselves are living out in word and deed. You want to be blessed? Well, then what, you know, you got to share what you have lived out in your life in word and deed. Don't share out somebody else. Share what God did in your life. Be thankful for what, hey, I'm saved. I just like this morning when I share with that lady, hey, I'm excited because you know what? Today is the day that we get to worship God corporately. Oh, you're talking about church? That's right. I share with her in word and deed, something that I do in my own life. C.H. Spurgeon, he said this. When he was asked how to defend the Bible, he says, you defend the Bible as you would a roaring lion. You just open the cage and let it out. You can't defend a lion. Most likely, you try to defend a lion. You get in front of a lion to protect him. All that lion's going to do is get you from behind, and you're going to be its meal. The word of God is alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You just got to share the scriptures. When you share the scriptures, you get to watch and see what the lion of the tribe of Judah does in the world through the word that he gives you. See what Jesus is going to do. Look at verse 20. Paul says, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to build upon another man's foundation. He went where the gospel has not been preached yet. And then when he did go where there was a church, he went to encourage and he went to see how they were doing. He walked hundreds of miles to be a fisher of men. And this was one of his ambitions, and that was to carry to the gospel to where no other minister had gone, because that's what God called him to do. God called him to be an apostle, a missionary evangelist, not a pastor to build upon the ministry of another man. God didn't call him to say, okay, you start a church here, and this is where you're going to be planted. When I think about all the churches here in North Park, here, up here, down here, right here, right here. What's that they do Thursday night here? The farmer's market is like the farmer's church market, you know. There's so many churches that they keep popping up right next to each other. I don't understand that. It's being built on another man's ministry. It's like, go where, like Paul, go where there's no one else. And then you plant right there, and that's where you build, and the Lord uses you. It'd be nice if we can just spread out, you know, and continue to move. That's north, south, and west, and east, you know. Look what he says in verse 21. He says, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard, they shall understand. I love this because Paul's quoting Isaiah 52:15. And actually, this was kind of like his scripture confirmation that the Lord gave him to go to those who have not already heard or seen Jesus. Because that's what Isaiah 52:15 is talking about. It's a prediction that the gospel would be carried to those who have not heard or have not seen Jesus. That's why we got to have scripture confirmation. You know, seek the Lord. When God calls you to do, seek God and he'll speak to you. Paul was one of God's chosen vessels, what, to carry the message to those who have never heard? It's sad and it's tragic because there's still multitudes who have not heard the gospel of Christ, who are dying and they're spending eternity apart from God, who are going to hell all because they have not, all because we have not carried the gospel to them. And I think, you know what? It's like God, those areas we can't reach, God, they're having visions and dreams. God's being faithful. He's not going to determine his faithfulness on you or me. He's going to do the work. But again, it falls in the circle of life here. You either are the goer or you are the sender. But we all play a part. And if you disagree with that, then something's wrong. Because we're called to fulfill the Great Commission. Didn't Jesus say, when you accept the Lord, now go? He said, told him, now go and preach the gospel to the world. I mean, don't apply that to your life? I pray that, you know, we can raise up more Pauls for today here within our body, that we can send out more Pauls to areas that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach those who never had an opportunity to hear. Again, we're going to China. And I really believe that every one of you should be part of that great work that Jesus is calling us to do. Reach the world for Christ. I want to be an active church. I don't want to be an activist church. I want to be an active church. Let's not be a title. Let's be like the early church where the Holy Spirit is poured out and the Lord is moving and people are getting saved and he's adding to the church daily. Or you're just going to be an activist church, you know, and those are the ones that are always making problems and they're always complaining and they're always protesting and everything. We're not called to do that in the church. We're called to be an active church. And you're either going to be involved in what God called us to do, whether it's through you going, whether through it's you sending or through your praying. But you got to be part of it. Look what he says in verse 22. He said, for this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer have a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. You know, at the time when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he actually wrote it when he was in Corinth. But he had this great desire, you know, I want to go to Rome. But I love the fact and the example that because even though he didn't make it to Rome at this time, he did a great job where he was at. His heart was to go. That was like, oh, man, I want to go visit. I got to go to Rome. I got to go to Rome. But the Lord didn't permit it. And so did that hinder his work? No. Paul did a great, thorough job where he was. And he was a great example of that highest calling in the ministry, that wherever you are, that's the highest calling. And he did preach in Rome, but he preached through a letter. That's why we got the book of Romans here. He evangelized, he reached out through the book of Romans, and he did go to Rome, but he went in prison. So the point is, wherever God has you, complete the job, guys. Complete the calling that God called you to do, despite how big or how little the task and the difficulties are. Paul wanted to move on, but he stayed he completed his ministry where he was. He didn't stop. He didn't give up. He continued to do the Lord's work. God called him to evangelize and to minister throughout the region of Jerusalem and Illyricum. And so he just kept doing it. In verse 24, he says, and whenever I journeyed to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. You know, again, Paul, he was this evangelistic missionary, but he had a worldwide vision, and he had this passion for the lost that caused him to desire and to ache and to reach the whole world. And I think that's what we lack. I'm speaking to my own self. I said, you know what, Lord, what do I need to do to get back fired up for the Lord? You know, to get excited and to have that joy of the Lord and to like, yeah. And God told me, you need to get back out there in the streets. And that's what I plan to do. I'm telling you what, come January, I'm going to hit out in the streets on Friday. I'm going to go with Frank and them. Because I remember I used to do that every Tuesday. And oh my gosh, it was exciting. Faith isn't faith until you give it away. And man, that was the best time of my life when I was able to share the gospel and pray with people. They were accepting the Lord. When's the last time you led someone to the Lord? If any. When's the last time you shared the word of God? It should be exciting. Paul had this passion. And he thought, hey, if I can go to Spain and into the regions of Rome, and the West, because, you know, the western borders of Spain were considered a link to all civilization of the world along with Rome. Paul knew that if he can personally evangelize there, then you know what? The gospel of Jesus Christ would spread out into the uncivilized world. Man, he had some vision. And he was consumed with this passion to reach every man, every woman, every child with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know what? Jesus died for them. And you know what's interesting? He was totally the opposite of Saul, because Saul had a passion to see men, women, and children killed or put into prison. And then his passion for men and women and children changed when he had this personal relationship with Christ, and he wanted to see men, women, and children saved. Isn't that ironic? Change, just like that. First, man, I want to see all you guys dead in prison. Then over here, I'm Saul. Then I'm Paul. I want to see all you men, women, and children saved. That's God. That's how we know we have what we have is real. Man, why can't we have that type of passion for humanity, you know? Look at verse 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia to Achaia that to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed that we are in their depths. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and I have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by the way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You know, the believers in Jerusalem at this time, they were going through some problems. They were lacking a lot of needs. They were poor and they were suffering. And this could have been because of the persecution that had been taking place there. So when Paul heard this and the Gentile believers heard this, they realized that they were in debt to the church in Jerusalem for bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to their region. They got saved. If it wasn't for you guys in Jerusalem, we wouldn't have got saved. So what they do, they took up this offering for the church in Jerusalem. As Paul was making his way down to Jerusalem, he would ask for a special blessing from the Gentiles. And so Paul was going back to Jerusalem to bring this love offering. And after that, Paul says, I plan to go to Spain in verse 24. And when you think about the one who led you to the Lord, think about it. Who led you to the Lord? Isn't there like this great respect and this great seat of honor for that person? I think of the bug man that used to do our building here. I led him to the Lord one day. And he worked for Clark's Pest Control. And then, you know, I would pray with him. Every day he wanted me to pray with him because he says, I want to start my own business. And I saw God, he started his own business. And I saw God take him and provide for him just like that, a whole business. It was amazing. And he says, you know what? I want to come and I want to spray the church and I want to do your house. I said, okay, we'll pay you. No, I don't want you paid. No, we want to pay you, brother. A workman is worthy of his wage. He said, no, what you did for me, I can never outdo for you. I said, nah, brother, let me pay. He would not. And so he sprayed this building every month for a long time. Every month at my house, he would come, take care of my gophers, you know, take care of the spraying. And he would not let us pay because he was so grateful that you gave me the gospel. You know, I feel the same way with the person that led me to this great seat of honor for that person. Now, we don't know if Paul made it to Spain. You know, church tradition indicates that he did, but we don't know. But whether he did or not, his plan and desire was to go to Spain and go on into Rome. And I love the fact that even though he planned this, it didn't go according to how he wanted it to go. Nothing ever does, right? I know I'm running over. If you have to leave, go ahead, but I want to finish this. So I'm warning you now. Proverbs 16:9, it says, in the heart of man's plan of his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You know, and I think we can learn from Paul in the fact that he didn't give up. He still had a plan. He didn't just kick back and do nothing. He always kept that highest calling before him, and he shared wherever he was. And even though his plan was to go to Spain and Rome, it didn't work out, he didn't just give up. My question is, what is your plan? What do you hope to accomplish in the remaining years of your Christian walk? Paul was a man with a master plan. Look at verse 30. He says, now I beg you, brother, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me. I love the fact that Paul begs for much prayer from the church. But notice that he's not asking prayer for this selfish reason, but for the sake of what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Paul's number one concern was for Jesus Christ to be praised, to be worshipped, and to be served by all men, not by him. So easily for him to get in, yeah, look at what I did. I mean, he did a lot. And that's why he says it was for Christ's sake, for the cause of Christ and for his kingdom, that Paul wanted people to pray for him. And that was in three special areas that he asked for prayer. The word translated strife, he says, strive with me. That's where we get the word agonize. Agonize. You know, when you think of the word agonize, and if you really want to know what the word agonize in prayer is, then read about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed in the garden, he agonized so much. The fact that his disciples didn't stay awake with him, they weren't there for him, and they were sleeping, and the fact that God was, backing off. That he's agonized in prayer, that the great drops of sweat of blood. That's agonizing. In other words, when Paul said this, he said he was begging. He was agonized, asking for this passionate, this fervent prayer because he knew there would be danger waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knew what was going on, and he knew that, you know, others were warning him that, you know, he was going to have problems in Jerusalem because that's where he was heading for, Jerusalem, take this special offering, right? And Acts chapter 20, verse 23, it says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. Acts 21, it says, finding some disciples there, he stayed with them 7 days, and through the Spirit they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. In verse 10 and 11 of Acts 21, he says, and after there had been, I was there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied it on his hands and his feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, what if that was you? Would you beg for prayer, you know? Paul saw himself as someone who had this great need for prayer. And if Paul saw himself for this need of prayer, if Jesus asked his disciples, hey, stay awake and pray for me, how much more do we need to pray? Paul was on the front lines. He was up against a lot of circumstances, a lot of difficulties, a lot of hard times, even good times. And he needed the prayers of the saints to what? To hold him up. Just like me, I need it, guys. I need your prayers. Especially, don't forget to pray for me on Saturday night. That's the worst. The warfare is intense. And the need of the prayers of the saints is so important. I like what Chuck Smith said. He said, the pastors are sustained by and are held up by the prayers of the saints in their congregation. I believe that. I need your prayers to hold us up. the pastors here. We all need it. There's a sister in the church that every time I'm going through some very difficult warfare, I mean very intense, I always receive this letter in the mail, a card of encouragement right at this exact time. And I'm just like blown away, and God gets the glory. And I read it, and it's like, wow, God knew I needed this at this time, and it comes. It's amazing. It's a perfect timing every time. Every time. And I love it. And we're almost done here, guys. Sorry I'm running late. Verse 30 says, now I beg you, brethren, through prayer, he says, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me. He said, let's do it together. Let's don't do it separate. And let's do it together in reaching the world for Christ. You know, Paul's calling was to the Gentiles, verse 18. He got the power from the Spirit of God in 19. His priorities was the gospel in verse 19. His rules that he wasn't going to build on any other man's foundation, verse 20. He planned to go to Rome in verse 22 and 23. And the main thing that he needed was prayer. And he asked for three things. Verse 31, he says, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. That he may be protected from the unbelievers in Jerusalem. We're out to do him in. Second, that in verse 31, that I may serve, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And then third, he says that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. That's what he asked for prayer, that he can come with joy to Rome. But he says, agonize with me in prayer. So come January, the beginning of January, come agonize with me in prayer, guys. Come join with me in prayer, and let's pray that God will do something with us here in North Park. He says, first, agonize that I may be protected from the unbelievers who are out to get me. Well, that happened in Acts 21. We read how he was rejected, ridiculed, mocked, abused, threatened, and persecuted while he was sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ about receiving this eternal life in Jesus. And it was by the Jews who did not believe that were persecuting him. So he had to be taken into protective custody by the Roman centurion who was stationed there. He said, pray for me that I might be accepted by the believers who are there waiting for me. Well, was he accepted by the believers? Well, it was the believers there who got him stoned, and when he brought the love offering from the Gentiles, they didn't even thank him for delivering it. And we don't even see the believers speaking with him or caring for him while he was in protective custody. He says, pray that I might come to you with joy and encouragement and to be encouraged. Well, did Paul come to Rome with joy? He came to Rome as a prisoner of Rome. That's how he came to Rome, as a prisoner. So, you know, you might think that, you know, Paul's prayer and the prayers of the believers weren't answered. But in fact, they were answered, because he was protected in Jerusalem. He was severely beaten. You know, he was beaten but to a pulp, but yet he didn't die. Was he accepted by the believers? Not at that time, but eventually he was. And even Peter mentions it in 2 Peter 3, where he says, hey, you know, listen to Paul. Listen to his instruction and receive him. And did he make it to Rome? Yes, he made it a couple times. But it just wasn't the way he wanted it to be. And then last, 33, end here. Now the God of peace be with you all, amen. Listen to what three scriptures. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:33, our God, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, guys, as in all churches of the saints. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each one with a holy kiss. And then I love what Chuck Smith used to say at the end of the service, which I'm going to say to you. Numbers 6:24 and 26. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, I do thank you for Paul and his life. And Father, his passion and his love. And for the saints. And what a great opportunity that we have to be part of this circle of life, Lord. Part of building the kingdom of God. Not build the church, Lord. Build the kingdom of God. Build the kingdom of heaven. We're here together, Lord. And we get to be part of that. Whether we're going to take the gospel, whether we're sending them through, I think the blessing about being born again is first you receive the spiritual blessing, then you give the material blessing. That's how it works. Everybody who gets saved, just like the Gentiles, when he went to the Gentiles and he took up this love offering, they were so thankful that the Jews reached out to them that they said, we want to now help them materially. That's what it's about. It's about giving back to God. So may we become senders, and may we all, Lord, all be part of that circle of life through prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Give us peace, Lord. Give us peace. And may we, Lord, have evidence in our walk with you that people are attracted to, not us personally, but our faith in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, and we do give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Sorry I ran late, but I had to finish it. I gave you warning, though, didn't I? Okay, can't say I didn't warn you. And, you know, you're just like Paul, who was warned not to go to Jerusalem because of what awaits you. I warned you that I was going to be late, and you didn't flee. You stayed here, and you listened. God bless you. You guys are awesome. I'm loved. Let's worship.
From the well, Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood.
God bless. Have a good week.